I will remind you that during our gathering hymn, you are invited to come forward and place a stone in the bowl of water. This ritual completes the four earth elements that are involved in our service each Sunday morning: air, fire, water, and earth. The element of water is essential to all life. It may symbolize the healing tears of love, compassionate understanding, purification, repose or change, the passage of time, and the transcendence of earthly conditions. The element of earth, represented by the stones, is a container and maintainer of life. As matter, the stones ground and stabilize us. These stones can symbolize humility, forgiveness, practicality, wisdom, and eternity. Let us join our voices in song and our hearts in compassion. Worth takes endless forms. As we find more expressions of our worth, we grow richer as a church community. If we let rationalizations replace justice, resignation replace equity, and pity replace compassion, our human relations are diminished.
We believe acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth in our congregation.
How do I withhold acceptance? Do my fears stunt our congregation's growth? When next I hesitate, can I extend my hand instead?
We believe in a free and responsible search for truth and meaning.
How much more will we learn if we share our search with travelers who set a different pace, see from a different perspective, or understand with a different wisdom? For all to have a voice, we need many ways of expression, and we need many ways to listen.
We believe in the goal of world unity with peace, liberty, and justice for all.
Just as peace means no violence, and liberty means no oppression, and justice means no prejudice, all means no exceptions. We gain strength from the support of others, and we grow stronger as we support others. Together, we can weave our values into an ever stronger web of existence. We are grateful for the gifts received this morning that allow us to do the work in the world that makes the world a better place for all. Thank you. Our first reading this morning comes from trans activist Kate Bornstein's play called Hidden Agenda. The monologue you are about to hear is given by Doc Grinder in the portion of the role that is enfant. Yes, strange as it seems, he still feels like a woman. It's gender blur. We don't think about our gender day and night. Not like these poor victims. No, it doesn't even cross our mind. No, not until someone calls you sir again. Not until someone says you're behaving too effeminately. Experts agree that we don't even think about our gender in terms of ourselves. No, it's not until we see someone walking down the street and we can't tell if it's a man or a woman. Ever wonder why you can't stop staring until you decide one way or the other? It really bothers you, doesn't it? We don't have to know someone's age. Their race might be somewhat indistinct, and we might be mildly curious. We may look at someone and think that they're gay or straight, but we don't have to know. We can wonder. Yet we insist, and this is the curiosity, we insist that every person have one gender or another, and we remain unsettled until we assign one gender or the other. It's part of our conscience, isn't it? And as to conscience, we really should thank religion, whose chief task, it seems to be, is to see that everyone have more or less the exact same conscience. Some of my colleagues were trying to decide whether to lead a Thanksgiving service on this Sunday before Thanksgiving or to lift up stories about our transgender and gender nonconforming siblings in the world. Transgender Day of Remembrance, or TDOR, is held annually on November 20th to remember all of the transgender and gender nonconforming individuals who have lost their lives to hate violence fueled by transphobia in the preceding year. The number of trans women killed, and they are by and large trans women, far exceeds that of trans men. More trans people of color die than those of European ancestry. This year, there are 310 known deaths worldwide, including at least, and I say at least because we don't always know, at least 23 names of transgender or gender nonconforming Americans that have been added to the staggering list that has accumulated since this annual observance was initiated 20 years ago in 1998. In fact, there is a family-friendly service being held at the UU congregation in Rockville, Maryland this evening starting at 5 with pizza and activities and a service at 6 p.m. Maybe some of you can get there. Last year, issues related to the inherent worth and dignity of transgender people made national news multiple times. On the national stage in late July of 2017, reversing an Obama-era anti-discrimination policy, President Trump, encouraged to do so by Vice President Pence, signed a directive reinstating a ban on transgender people serving in the military. Trump continued his attack on transgender and gender nonconforming people this year. And while I was serving the UU Church in Tallahassee last year, a local news story went viral and then global when Tallahassee middle school teacher Chloe Bresick asked students to use gender-neutral pronouns, they, them, and their, and the gender-neutral title mix, MX, when addressing them. Parents raised alarm in a Facebook group. Initially, the school administration and the school department expressed support of Mix Bresick, but within a week they were removed from their fifth grade math and science classroom and transferred to teaching an adult basic education program. Ms. Bresick is transgender, according to reports in the Washington Post. The BREW membership committee was approached early this fall about including pronouns on name tags. It was decided to start by giving folks the option of including their pronouns on existing name tags by adding a sticker. And some of you have done so already. collection of contact information will eventually include a question about which pronouns individuals use. Why? Because we resort to pronouns all the time, and a person's gender identity may not be as obvious as we would like to think. As the character Doc Grinder says, we insist that a person be one gender or the other, and we remain unsettled until we assign one gender or the other. So rather than letting others make assumptions, transgender and gender nonconforming people have led the way in getting people to indicate their gender identity by listing their pronouns. For people whose gender identity, outward gender expression, and biological sex all match, cisgender people, this means labeling themselves in ways that seem obvious, but that is part of the privilege that cisgender people have in heterosexual and patriarchal cultures. Cisgender people are labeled as normal. Maybe the so-called average person does not think about gender day and night, but I seem to be confronted by it frequently. My conscience has been bothering me off and on for years now. When I was very young, in the late 1960s, my hair was generally much, much longer than I keep it now. It was a time in our social culture when all who were hip wore their hair longer. Boys could not be distinguished from girls on the basis of hair length. For some reason, I was frequently mistaken for a boy. To me, it really was no big deal, but to my mother, it was upsetting. And I suppose it was the clothes that I wore, the activities I engaged in, the way I walked, and how I talked. I liked to do things that boys got to do without question. And in my family, that was okay, up to a point. When I turned 13, it was suddenly not okay to be me. My parents came down hard on me for everything, and I had no idea why being my very own person was subject to so much criticism. It was not until I got to college 5 years later and confronted directly with my own sexuality that I was given the key to why my humanity was barraged by negativity. It turns out that my sister had come out as a lesbian when I was 13, and I was put into the position of the other daughter, the normal one. And I'll just add that later, much later, maybe 5 years or so later, she told me that my parents thought I was a little off the wall anyway, so I don't quite understand this all. And now and then I'm still called sir by salespeople or something along those lines, and it doesn't matter what I'm wearing or how obvious my external biological sex is. It doesn't bother me. It bothers them, actually. Some of you know this experience. I do not insist on being one gender or the other. All are created in God's image, and God is and is not gendered. The beloved is a both and. What is normal? Our culture has imposed multiple binary systems. It insists that we be either male or female, masculine or feminine, and these dualisms have to do with sex and gender. And then there's our sexuality. We are either heterosexual or homosexual. Bisexual, sometimes called ambisexual, is seen as some sort of blending in the middle between the two extremes on the Kinsey sexuality scale. For those who may be unfamiliar, Kinsey, Pomeroy, and Martin published their sexuality studies on first men and then later women in the 1940s and 1950s. It was also called the heterosexual homosexual rating scale. That's not the same thing as gaydar, I'll just say. On Kinsey's scale, an exclusively heterosexual person was on the left, and an exclusively homosexual person was on the right. Everything in between was labeled bisexual. It was the first sexuality continuum proposed by sexologists. The 10% figure for homosexuality in the population comes from Kinsey's study of men. But Kinsey found that only slightly more than half claimed exclusive heterosexuality according to the scale. However, that's not what we hear about. For example, social ethicist and libertarian theologian Miguel de la Torre cites a 2005 National Center for Health Statistics finding that 90% of both men and women between the ages of 18 and 44 label themselves as heterosexual. But do you remember being graded on a normal curve? It goes like this. If the teacher awarded grades on that bell-shaped curve, the assumption was that 68% of the students would receive an average grade of C. Another 14% would get a D, and likewise 14% would get a B of some kind. Only 2% would fail, and 2% would be A students. Normal is average. The extremes of exclusivity cannot statistically be considered normal. Under the binary of sexuality dualism, heterosexuals are at one end while homosexuals are at the other. Given this, heterosexuality is not normative. If we assume heteronormativity, then the sexuality scale is not a spectrum with exclusive heterosexuality on one end and exclusive homosexuality on the other. Complicate that male-female gender binary with variations in sexual orientation of transgendered and intersex people who already do not fit into the sex and gender binary systems. How then can we picture sexual orientation? What is more, how can we see gender? What does biological sex really look like? Are we really two groupings of human beings, those with two X chromosomes, female, and those with one X and one Y, male? Biologists long ago discovered that our chromosomes exist in other combinations than just XY and XX. They call it meiosis, when two or more cell populations of different genotypes exist within an individual. It is possible even for intersex individuals, those born with both male and female sex organs, to have genitalia that do not match their chromosomal configuration. Biologists have labeled these chromosomal variations mutations, or meiosis errors. But does the spirit of life make mistakes? Perhaps in all of the spirit's infinite wisdom and creativity, the beloved saw life wholly as a mosaic. Meiosism is the living system that the infinite created. Order emerges out of chaos. We see patterns that we read meaning into. When we do, we may lose sight of the different tree species that make up the forest as a whole. In the case of gender, it would be better to not see the forest for the trees. Our culture has placed inordinate value on masculinity, maleness, patriarchy. Anything that does not fit this is other. Anything other is subordinated. Consider the following story. An American couple went to visit relatives in Germany. One evening, they were taken out to see a cabaret show. Delighted that his guests were enjoying themselves, their German host indicated that the women performing on stage were actually men in drag. Taken aback, the American man said, "If those aren't real women, then I'm not a real man." we limit ourselves tremendously by being either or. It is so much waste of human potential, as feminist and queer theologian Virginia Mollenkott has written. Our lives become dull pictures without texture and color. We neglect the intricacies of the ecosystem. Sarah Gibb Millspaugh, a Unitarian Universalist minister who has written about pastoral care with transgender people, points out the reality of transgender people's lives stands as a testament against the universality of male and female, and a system that upholds this universality is ultimately life-defying. To be radically inclusive justice seekers is, she continues, to confront such life-defying fallacies of our culture that serve the powerful and punish the powerless. Heather Ash, a friend of mine, explained to me how she and her partner, who are spiritual teachers, confront the life-defying fallacies of sex and gender in their spiritual teachings. She told me this story while we shared a meal in Basel, Switzerland, after a seminar we had attended. You'll hear some echoes of our Time for All Ages story in this. During our last day at the seminar, one of the participants had remarked on the balance of male and female, gay and straight in our group of four students. In outward appearance, there were two men and two women, and the participant assumed that there were two heterosexuals and two homosexuals. And yet this gay man had made assumptions about the sexualities represented. Heather Ash explained to me that as part of their course on sexual integrity, she and her then partner, Raven, developed a radically inclusive way of understanding sex, sexuality, and gender that they called earth and sky energies. They did this to move beyond the terms that so many people use when talking about sexual and other types of energy, feminine and masculine. Yes, I have been thinking about gender a great deal more in the past several years, ever since I played the ambiguously and fluidly gendered role of Doc Grinder in Hidden Agenda, written by playwright and transgender activist Kate Bornstein. Transgendered people are often referred to as belonging to a third sex or a third gender. However, my sense is that moving from two-dimensional to three-dimensional system just doesn't go far enough. It's still static. Kate Bornstein makes the following suggestion. Instead of imagining gender as opposite poles on a two-dimensional line, it would be interesting to twirl that line in space and then spin it through several more dimensions. In this way, many more possibilities of gender identity may be explored. Virginia Mollenkott's radically inclusive term, omnigender, takes a different form beyond space and time. Mollenkott calls us to a category-transcending, passionate and compassionate vision of the human face divine that will stimulate and sustain our attempts to achieve omnigender justice. Imagining humanity as not bi or even trigendered honors the spiritual oneness of all people while simultaneously freeing them to be fully themselves in every way. Omnigender blurs the distinctions. The spirit of life is neither gendered nor non-gendered. Spirit is both and. Life is. Alex Capitan, a queer and genderqueer spiritual activist, intersectional educator and organizer, and a Unitarian Universalist, wrote the following meditation on opposites. You can find it in Becoming, a Spiritual Guide for Navigating Adulthood. Would you please center yourselves in the spirit of meditation and prayer? meditation on opposites. Spirit of the universe, life force that flows through all beings, power beyond our knowing, we ask you to help us see beyond our dependence on opposites, to transcend our desire to know who is like us and who is not. Open us to the knowledge that in this room there are complexities and diversities of identities beyond black and white, old and young, woman and man, poor and rich, uneducated and educated, disabled and able-bodied, gay and straight, ill and healthy, wrong and right, broken and whole. In this room, there are people who embody juxtaposition, who can tell stories written on their bodies about both and neither, who carry intimate pieces of the truth that there is no such thing as opposites. Spirit of many names and of no name at all, help us find release from our belief that all things must be either or, this belief that walls us off from one another, ensnaring us in a battle of same versus different. Help us to open our minds, to deeply listen, and to truly know one another, finally glimpsing the kaleidoscopic beauty of the divine. If the spirit of the universe, our beloved spirit of the universe, is both male and female, and the beloved is also non-gendered, what does that make us? We are created in the beloved's image. What does that make our relationship with the beloved? What does that make our sex, our sexuality, our gender? How can anyone be anything other than omnigendered, in which case it makes much more sense to have a transnormative culture where sex, sexuality, and gender are appreciated in all of their complexities, and in the grand scheme of things, no one way of being is better than another. Let us become a good enough holding environment for all individuals in the beloved community of humankind, where everything is possible. I invite you now into our time of spoken sorrows and joys. To our transgender and gender nonconforming siblings around the world, we send light. We send love. We send healing. We are holding you. To those who are experiencing pain, emotional pain, physical pain, the pain of being displaced from homes as wildfires ravage California, we are sending you light. We are holding you. We are with you in spirit. We are here to help. We are here to hold you and care for you, bless you, and love you. The chief task of religion is to see that we all have more or less the exact same conscience. As Doc Grinder, the gender-blurring MC of Bornstein's Hidden Agenda, suggests, then let us become aware that we are all omnigendered and create a transnormative culture. The infinite knows that there really is no separation between earth and sky or chaos and order. This breath of life weaves all existence together into a tapestry, this ground of being into which are placed all the tiles of the mosaic, becomes a picture of radical inclusiveness. Will you rise or in body or spirit for our chalice extinguishing words? You may reach out and grasp the hand of those next to you if they are so inclined. We extinguish this chalice, for the worship has ended. Our service begins. Mm-hmm.